Who is the top closer going into 2016? We will attempt to answer that question right now on the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. I'm Adam Azer with Al Melchior, and Scott White's joining us soon. And how are you, Al?
I'm good. I'm a little frazzled because I'm late to the DFS party.
You today. Are?
Yep. Normally I'd have a lineup by now.
Oh.
But right now I have 6/9 of a lineup.
How do you feel about it?
So far, so good. Some good bargains, which you will need tonight.
Okay. Okay, yeah. 7 games on the night slate. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Craig Kimbrell got a save last night in an inning in the third. He struck out 3. He did not walk or give up a hit. Not walk a batter, give up a hit. 37th save of the season, and he is barely in the top 10 in points leagues among closers, and he is 13th among relief pitchers behind some middle relievers in Roto. Not a great year for him. Not a great year for Holland. Al, we will get to Shelby Miller, Alex Wood, George Springer, Miguel Cabrera, Jorge Soler, many, many more. But first, tell me your rankings next year. Who's your number one relief pitcher?
I think it's going to be Kenley Jansen.
Yeah, he's pretty good, huh?
He's been really good. He's buried a little bit in the rankings because of missing the time early in the year. But he leads all relievers that have at least 40 innings pitched in fantasy points per inning and by about half a point. So that's a big margin.
Wow.
He is second among qualifying relievers in K per 9 and second among qualifying relievers in K per BB.
So you
add it all up. He has been the most effective, most dominant reliever this year.
Who's number two?
Yeah, that's where it gets really tough. I think for this year, it's probably been Andrew Miller.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I'm surprised Jansen's been that much better than Andrew Miller. Miller had a DL stint. Jansen had a DL stint. But Miller's been awesome.
Yeah.
Had another save last night.
Yeah, and I was surprised too. Yeah, they both had DL stints. Jansen's got the lower walk rate. I think that's the big difference maker.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Miller, let's see, only 16 walks in 55 innings. Jansen, 8 walks in 46 and two-thirds innings with 0.77 whip. Miller has a 0.80 whip. They've been pretty similar.
Yeah.
Miller's got 34 saves. Now, looking at the best closers, you need a lot of saves. Mark Melancon is the number one closer in points leagues.
And Familia's second, right?
Familia's second.
And those two...
Rosenthal's third, and yeah. Rosenthal actually has 4 more saves than Familia.
Yeah, no, Melancon and Familia have racked up a lot of innings compared to the field. So that gives them an advantage, but that's not necessarily an advantage they will have next year. So I think they could be a little overrated.
Yeah, I just... Really what I want to know is how are you going to treat closers on bad teams?
You know, I maybe just a very slight discount. I just think as often as that works out the way that logic would seem to dictate, it doesn't work out that way, and they wind up being just fine.
Jairus Familia is the number one closer in roto leagues, and Melancon is 2, and Rosenthal is 3. So you have the same top 3 in points and in roto. All right, Al. Well, that was 2016. Let's talk 2015 and Wednesday's standouts. If you want to send us an email, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com is the email address. Chris will be on tomorrow's show, and he will take you through the most added and drop list, the 2-star pitchers, start or sit advice from Scott. We'll talk a little bit of 2-star pitchers today, the ones who went yesterday. Shelby Miller is a 2-star pitcher next week at the Mets, at the Marlins, 57% started. Has not won since May 17th.
Incredible.
And he's now starting to pitch kind of poorly.
Yeah.
So do you start or sit Miller in a 2-start week next week?
I think you can start him. He's not must start. But even though he's not been that good lately, and you certainly can't count on him getting wins as bad as the Braves offense is, he's good enough to pass muster in a 2-start week.
Alex Wood. 3 of his last 4, 2 earned runs or less. The other one was awful. That was against Arizona. That's who he faces next week in his first start. His second start is at Colorado. Starter said Alex Wood.
Yeah, I would sit him.
Oh, I hate at Colorado.
I do too. And I think he's fringy enough. You know, obviously, great pitchers. First of all, the great pitchers may do okay there.
Right.
And, you just stick it out with them. I don't think Wood has cleared that hurdle this season, even though he's coming off a great start.
George Springer, since coming off the DL, .222 batting average in 45 at-bats, no homers, no steals, 1 attempt, 3 walks, 11 strikeouts. Starter sit George Springer.
I'm starting Springer in most of my leagues, most formats, but I think even in a 12-team league that's just got three outfielders, I would at least consider sitting Springer.
You loved Springer coming into the year.
I did, yeah.
In Roto, in categories. How do you feel about him now? How are you going to feel about Springer next year?
I think will
the last 2 weeks of the season matter?
No, okay. No, not at all. Because, I mean, if he's this, you know, bad or worse, I mean, you can just chalk it up to just the layoff and whatever lingering effects there are. But I'll be encouraged going into next year because we saw the speed. Mm-hmm. That was the thing we were arguing about back in March. We took the power for granted. We took a low batting average for granted. I think he's capable of having a good power year. It could be a really... A true breakout year next year where we see the whole package.
Who stood out to you on Wednesday? What were you doing Wednesday night? Who were you watching?
I was watching Marlins Mets.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Very disappointed.
You weren't watching the debate?
I was not watching the debate, no.
Yeah, me either.
You know, kind of followed along on Twitter.
I saw a little bit of it. Good conversation about legalization of marijuana. It was interesting. Sure, why not? Anyway, baseball.
Oh, yeah, baseball. So who stood out? Couple of lefties. Well, actually, three lefties. So let's start with the lefty who was bad, Dallas Keuchel.
6 runs in the first inning. Most runs he's given up in a game all year.
And I have a slight bit of concern about Keuchel. Last 5 starts, this is going to sound funny as a concern, 55% ground ball rate, which for anybody else is really good. but that's a real drop-off for him. And then over those 5 starts, he's allowed 7 home runs. Now, he's had 2 3 homer games, 3 homers allowed during that stretch. So that might be a little misleading. But he is throwing fewer sinkers, more sliders, and you are getting the strikeouts from Keuchel. But, you know, I just think, I'm not so concerned that you would sit him. You know, maybe in a very shallow league, but, I mean, in almost all formats, I would start him, but I just would maybe lower my expectations a little bit.
Well, he's already pitched more innings than he did last year.
And he threw 200 last year, right?
Yeah. He's at 210 now, right around there. I don't know. It seems like a convenient excuse. I'm not really sure that's a problem.
I'm not sure either. It could be. I'm not sure
200.
what the deal is with him not throwing as many sinkers lately. For what it's worth, according to the MLB Gamecast yesterday, none of the 3 home runs were hit off of a two-seamer or a sinker.
Okay.
So, you know, I don't know. It may be nothing, and it certainly isn't anything that I would, again, sit Keuchel for, but I also wouldn't be shocked if he finished on, you know, a little bit more of a down note and maybe pitched his way out of the Cy Young.
Yeah, well, he's going to be pitching game 1 of the wild card.
If they make it.
Yeah, seriously. Scott. Hey. Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. Just finished up the waiver wire column today. So,
tell us about
that.
That
will be up in short order, maybe.
Who was in it?
Josh Tomlin's in it, actually, even though I don't like him. It's the time of year where you have to play guys you don't like sometimes. It's not so clear he's going to get 2 starts next week anymore. Obviously, that's the hope if you're picking him up. But
even if
he doesn't.
Minnesota and Kansas City.
Yeah, at two parks where maybe his home run tendencies don't come home to roost.
Right.
Not that they've hurt him so far, obviously.
Right. He's been the rooster, mm-hmm. not the roostie.
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
What else we got?
It's
that time of year where you're making these types of jokes. Me, mostly.
Yes. Who else do I have? Travis Shaw. Since he's picked it up again, 4 home runs in his last 7 games, I think. Really just a 2-week lull in there, so he's been good for a couple months.
All right.
And then Marcus Stroman beating the punch in case Friday's an awesome start. I think he's a pitcher who could be worth starting even with just 1 start over the last couple weeks.
I like that. How that one goes. Writing about the pitcher in the waiver wire column. The day before he pitches. No, seriously, I like that a lot.
Right.
Because that's too late if he has a good start.
This time of year, it might not be too late. You might seriously be competing against one other person for him on waivers. But yes, you should you should take the precaution, and if you can, stash Marcus Stroman until you see what he does on Friday. And if it's awesome, then you can roll with him after that. Some big news.
I'm sorry, but I teased three lefties. So real, real quickly, let's throw to the group. Who do you like better, Henry Owens or Adam Conley? Because both had really good starts last night.
Neither.
Really?
Long term or
this year?
Right now?
Yeah. And I mean, and, you know, deep league special.
I mean, long term, it's got to be Owens.
Yeah.
He's the prospect.
I would take Owens.
Yeah, he's the prospect, but so far, I actually like what I've seen from Conley a little better. So, it's, you know, look, I would take Owens too, but I'm just saying Conley has been surprisingly good for the last, five starts, 2.96 ERA, and seven scoreless innings last night against the Mets. So that's a guy to watch because he's really been much better than I thought he would be. And Owens also good outing, 7 2/3 scoreless at the Orioles, but he's got some control issues, and he's he's got very high fly ball rates.
And so. He has reverse splits, so he's bad against lefties, now, really good against righties.
Is that just with the Red Sox this year, or is that a history?
With the Red Sox, I'm not sure. But so far with the Red Sox, big difference.
Yeah.
Hey, how about a score one for BVP last night? Iwakuma. Amazing numbers against the Angels, and what a great start for him.
He did have a great start, and really that's 8 of 9 have been really good. I think one of those 8 that was good was technically not quality, but the other 7 were like really good.
At last start was 6 scoreless innings, and he gave up 3 runs in the 7th, but Iwakuma, I just want to brag about the DFS thing, because now Angels hitters have a 6.06 OPS against him.
Here's the thing. Angels hitters, other than Mike Trout, not very good.
But Trout's 7 for 33. Pujols is 6 for 36. Ryan Jackson is 0 for 0. David Fries is 4 for 18. I mean, CJ Cron's 1 for 8.
Ryan Jackson's never made an out against him.
Exactly. Yeah, he's his thorn in his side. But I use that information to start Iwakuma in a daily league. That's what I wanted to say.
But the point I was making... If you need the dots connected.
Is that he's good enough anyway?
Yeah, he's a good pitcher.
Well, you took the other side of it. Right, he's a good pitcher. They're a bad offense.
Yeah.
But if you look at his game log, you know, it's not quite as rosy just by the game log as you painted. Because, like, last start, 6 1/3, 8 hits, 3 earned runs, and a walk. It's not a great whip. The start before that was really good. The start before that, 5 2/3, 7 hits, 2 runs, 4 walks, terrible whip. The start before that was awful. 7 earned runs and 4 2/3. So it's really like before this start, it was 3 out of 4 that just looking at the box scores didn't look great. Okay, just throwing that out.
Yeah, I like the matchup though. But if you want to go by BVP,
there was all that's the entire fantasy baseball is entirely dependent on BVP. Al, if I haven't proven that this season, I don't know what I've proven.
Yeah, I don't know what you've proven.
Jorge Soler is off the DL. Do you guys want to throw him back in your lineup?
Let's see. I mean, if this is a daily lineup, then I'm waiting and seeing. And if it's a weekly lineup, I'm waiting and seeing. Let's see how he's used this weekend.
Okay. Anibal Sanchez is out for the season, but should be fine for next year. Joe Kelly out for the season. Justin Upton was out yesterday with an illness. Ryan Braun sat with lower back tightness. Carlos Gonzalez sat with a foot injury, but he says he's fine. Remember, they were coming off a 15-inning game. Houston Street. So I didn't know this. When he gave up that 5-run appearance, he was dealing with the flu.
Not just flu-like symptoms.
The flu.
The flu.
And
it's not even flu season.
Yeah, I think it might be because I see people getting their flu shots now.
Don't you get your flu shots before flu season?
Approaching?
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's like writing about the pitcher the day before he starts.
It's starting on Houston Street. flu season. Anyway, hopefully he gets better, and hopefully he didn't cost you fantasy with that horrible appearance. Billy Hamilton pinch hit yesterday. Jed Lowry has missed 2 in a row with a foot injury, in fact. Billy Burns could be back soon from his hamstring injury. As Drubal Cabrera missed yesterday's game, Danny Valencia has missed 2 straight. He's feeling better. Derek Norris still out with a hand injury. Edwin Encarnacion is back, and 2 pitchers are out of the rotation, Raisel Iglesias and Ivan Nova. Any big impact there?
Well, I mean, Iglesias was a guy we've been relying on the last couple weeks. I guess we're not anymore. By the way, Encarnacion didn't just return. He reached base 5 times.
Not bad. Yeah, he's pretty good.
Return to the capital R. And with the Iglesias thing, yeah, that's, you know, definitely a bummer if you've got him in your rotation, and you probably should have up to this point. And his replacement is Brandon Finnegan. So that's kind of intriguing.
Finnegan begin again.
Is Adam Warren a two-star pitcher next week?
Who knows?
He's RP eligible.
Yeah. Could tell you what he's scheduled for. That doesn't necessarily
mean. He is a two-star
mean.
Pitcher. Yeah. Ooh, at Toronto. Nice. And home against the White Sox.
Yucky.
Yeah.
So also Robbie Erlins in the Padres rotation, and his first starts at Colorado. Oh. Why would you do that to a flyball pitcher?
It's no good.
Get his agent on the case.
Well, you don't have to start Robbie Erlins in FanDuel next week. You can start whoever you want. You get a budget. You set your lineup according to the budget. Obviously, you can't go over the budget, but it's a lot of fun to make that lineup. You know, whether you want to put in the work and do some research, or whether you want to go to sportsline.com and check out our optimal lineup every day on FanDuel, you can do that and let a computer simulator tell you who to start. But anyway, you really should get in on FanDuel and start playing, because they are the number one daily fantasy site. Obviously, a lot of football going on right now, but baseball is still going strong. Set your lineup. We'll help you out a little bit later in the show. Al's going to have some recommendations for his FanDuel lineup. Use our offer code CBSPOD, and when you sign up, FanDuel matches your first deposit dollar for dollar up to $200, and that gets earned as you play, and you're also going to be showing your support for our podcast. FanDuel.com/CBSPod is now a football contest, so you can join that and compete against me, Dave, and Jamie. But if you go to FanDuel, make sure you use the offer code CBSPod.
I might have to jump in that contest one of these weeks.
You should. It's a $10 contest, and all you got to do is finish in the top 45%, and you double up your money.
Oh, $10. Whoa.
Yeah, but you double up your money. It's 50-50, basically.
We did $2 in baseball. What is this?
$10, and if you beat me, Dave, and Jamie, all three of us, in any of the first 10 weeks, you automatically qualify for the Week 11 contest with $100,000 in free prizes.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Are we done talking FanDuel for now?
We are done.
I just realized we kind of skipped over something when you mentioned Asdrubal Cabrera. He's not only out, but he's saying he hopes he's back before the end of the season.
Okay.
So that sounds like more than a day-to-day situation.
All right. I guess AL only Nick Franklin has played yesterday and the day before.
That's his on his birth certificate, Nick AL only Franklin.
He was part of the Price trade? Or no?
He was part of the...
I'm trying to... Smiley, right? Or no,
well,
not Smiley
was Smiley part of the Price trade.
Because he came from Seattle, right?
Yeah, but that was a three-way trade with Austin Jackson, right?
Well, then,
so I think he was part of the Price trade.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And I thought they really liked him at the time. They were really high
on him. Oh, yeah, no, they were very high on him.
He was, yeah. Yeah, they were.
All right, four up. Hey, Mike Moustakas. Homered again. Last 28 days. This time, I don't think the fireworks went off. But last 28 days... Fifth best third baseman in points. Moustakas is third best in Roto. Mm-hmm. How much do you trust him?
Well, I had to face that exact question yesterday when listeners out there may have noticed on the site that I'm previewing rankings for next year, position by position. First and second base have already come out. I'm working on third base. That'll be next. And, you compare Mike Moustakas' numbers to, like, Kyle Seager's, who's, you know, obviously not elite, but somebody who's starting in every league. Very similar. Seager has more home runs, but Moustakas has played 15 fewer games and has higher OPS and slugging and all of that. So, I mean, obviously I prefer Seager because he does it. This is like his fourth straight year doing it.
Yeah.
And Moustakas just kind of emerged. But I do feel like...
Such a terrible stretch.
Moustakas?
Yeah, if you take out the first month and a half, what are Moustakas' numbers?
Yeah, so I don't even rank them right next to each other. There's Michael Franco in there and someone else who I'm not remembering. But my takeaway from it was, well, Mike Moustakas is having an even better season than I thought because... I'd been thinking of him as just, particularly if it's a league without a corner infield spot, just as somebody you fall back on at third base, and I think of Kyle Seager as more than that, and I think comparing them, they're pretty close to equal this year.
This year, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really the separator is Seager has been so consistent, and Moustakas has not only been inconsistent year to year, but this year, I mean, it seems like we've seen like three different versions of him. So right. It's going to be hard to know what to expect going into next season.
But the one thing that I think prevents him from like just flooring out, if that makes sense.
Flooring out, dude.
Yeah. I was afraid of saying something like Chris said yesterday.
Oh, my gosh.
Struggling to find the right combination of words there. But,
oh, man.
Bottoming out. That's what I was
there
thinking
you go.
Of. Yeah. He hardly strikes out at all.
Right.
Very low strikeout rate.
Melky Cabrera, last four games, 9 for 18 with a home run and two doubles and 7 RBI. He was hitless in the four games before that stretch. And off the top of my head, I feel like he's faced some really bad pitching. He just had the A's. Anyway, Cabrera, Melky. I don't know why I think I'm calling his name out in class. What do you think about
a substitute teacher
Melky Cabrera right now?
Well, I think he's kind of settled in to sort of a middle ground where he did virtually nothing the first, 3 months, and then was much better than I think we expected at the beginning of the season. So, you know, there's not been a lot of consistency there throughout the year, but I think he's settled into a point where he's safe to use in a 5 outfielder league, but I think that's the ceiling for him.
David Wright doubled again.
Double dip.
Well, have you looked at the matchups for next week?
Nope, not yet.
So I'm sure they play like the Marlins and the Phillies. That's all they ever play. Oh, no. Yeah, they play the Yankees this weekend and then probably back to the division stuff. But would you consider starting David Wright?
Not really.
Just the playing time?
Because, yeah, I mean, he hasn't started. Let's see. In the last couple of weeks, he hasn't started 4 games in a row. So, yeah, that's an issue in mixed leagues.
Greg Bird, 24% owned. Doubled last night. He has homered in 2 straight games. Since being called up, number 20 first baseman in points, but number 12 in Roto. Not too bad. And he's only 7 fantasy points behind number 12 in points, obviously. 5 home runs in September. He's surprised me a little bit. Greg Bird, 24%.
7 and 101 at-bats total since getting called up.
Not bad at all.
101 at-bats isn't many, obviously. But if he has that kind of power or anything close to it, he could be. I could see him being a serviceable mixed league guy because he walks at a fairly high rate, but he's also struck out every third at bat. So I could also see him just completely flooring out here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Final 2 weeks.
There have been times where it looked like that was happening, and then he'll rebound with a couple of good games. I just want to look up his lefty righty splits because I think they might be pretty telling. But would you rather have CJ Cron or Greg Bird?
I'd rather have Greg Bird.
Me
at least
too.
At least in a roto league.
Oh, gee.
At least in a roto.
Boy, I'm an idiot.
I was thinking the walk saved Bird in head to head more, and because Cron doesn't walk.
No, it doesn't strike out as much either. So
that's true.
Might be a wash there. Now, I'm really probably not interested in either guy in a 12-team points league. So.
The points league, yeah.
Well, Bird's hitting .300 against lefties and .235 against righties. 5 home runs against righties and 28 at bats.
But he's left-handed hitter, right?
He is lefty.
Yeah.
But he's doing well against lefties, but only 20 at-bats
against
lefties. All right. Scott, who's your number one relief pitcher in 2016?
Oh, wow. That is not an easy question to answer, is it?
Al said Kenley Jansen.
I'm trying to remember who I have as my number one relief pitcher now. My gut is actually telling me, and having not really compared anybody side by side yet, I like Andrew Miller a lot.
Going by the gut, that's who I would have picked too. But then I looked at numbers this morning, and Jansen's really been in a class of his own, even above Miller, which did surprise me.
Trevor Rosenthal is really having a very good year. I mean, the 1.18 whip is pretty high for an elite closer, but I feel like he's going to get a lot of saves, a lot of save chances, and he's answered the bell, you know, because he was a little concerning coming into these.
The Cardinals are never going to be bad again, so.
Pretty much not happening.
You know, for me, the bigger takeaway is that there's no way I'm being aggressive at reliever next year.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I wasn't this year, and I don't think I was last year either, but there was a year, you know, 2-3 years ago where Kimbrel seemed to be so much better than everybody else that I was going after him because it just seemed like he was great value even as the number one reliever given where he was going. Mm-hmm. And if I miss that on Jansen or Miller or Rosenthal, you know, there's plenty more where that came from.
All right, three down. Miguel Cabrera, last 19 games. He's batting 164 with no home runs, 8 walks, 14 strikeouts, and 2 doubles.
What a jerk.
Is there any concern just because of, you know, he came back from injury?
He was so good right when he first returned, though.
Yeah.
I feel like we would have seen this from the start of it.
So last year, Cabrera had a 17-game homerless streak. I went back. I was like, God, when was the last time he had a 19-game homerless streak? I bet it's been a while. Nope. Last year, he had a 17-game homerless streak, but he hit .311 in that stretch. He's only hitting .164. Then not long after that, he had a 27-game homerless streak, and he hit .248 in that stretch. But then in September, Miguel Cabrera had an OPS over 1,100. So I just thought that was interesting.
That sounds like a baseball season.
Gerardo Parra. It's been 21 games since he has homered. This guy was great right around the MLB trade deadline. Great with Milwaukee. Started off really strong with Baltimore. And now the Orioles lineup has just failed them. 172 with no home runs and 2 walks, 12 strikeouts in 21 games for Parra. You guys done with him?
Yeah, pretty much. He's not playing as regularly either. It's so hard to predict sometimes who Buck Showalter's going to put in that outfield alignment, other than Adam Jones. So, yeah, I'm done.
Okay. That's 2 down. I think I might have said 3. There are only 2. Into the rotation. Let's talk about some of the pitchers from yesterday. Jaime Garcia. He's been struggling a bit in 3 of his last 4. He has Cincinnati and Milwaukee next week. It's a 2-star week for Jaime. Both of those teams just hit him pretty hard. Start or sit Jaime Garcia?
I would start him. Although it's interesting because I got a Twitter question yesterday that asked, so this sounds like a shallow league, but who do you sit, him, Scherzer, or Strasburg, with Scherzer and Strasburg being 1-start pitchers? And there was, I gave some thought to Scherzer because he's fallen off a bit. Last start was very good, but he's not somebody that you sit your studs for.
Okay.
You start him if you can, but.
Yeah. Iwakuma at Kansas City next week, start him?
Yes.
Only 1 start?
Yeah.
I'm on the fence about that. Depends who else I'd have.
Jaime or?
Yeah, I'd rather start a 2-star Garcia.
All right. Gio Gonzalez, 2 starts next week. Baltimore and Philadelphia. He struck out 12 Phillies yesterday.
Oh, it was crazy.
Second double-digit strikeout game for Gio in his last 3 starts.
Yeah, I wanted to read up on that one to see if there was anything. No. Any kind of explanation? Yeah, because like I think you just said, 2 out of 3 starts, double digit strikeouts.
Yeah.
After just really a lame season. I think with 2 starts, I'd roll the dice on him.
Yeah, I would too.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do in the Roto League, where I'm out of it now, but where I have a lot of catching up to do, I'm going to take a shot and start him. But in the other Roto League, I don't know if I own him there. But if I did, I don't know that I'd start him. I'm in first in that league.
And yeah, that makes sense.
It would scare me a little bit.
Yeah, particularly if you're looking to preserve ERA and WHIP primarily.
Now, I should say one of the starts for Gonzalez next week is against the team he just had 12 strikeout game against, Philadelphia. The other is against Baltimore. Okay. All right, done with that. Luis Severino. So he's had 1 really bad start, and that was against Toronto. He was pretty darn good yesterday at Tampa Bay. And he's got 2 starts next week. Great, right? Well, one of them's at Toronto. At Toronto and home against the White Sox. What do you think about Severino?
I'd probably roll with them, but it depends. You know, it's very hard this time of year to get 2 starts with all the 6-man rotations and all the
spot
juggling.
Starters.
Spot starters, exactly.
Yeah,
so,
out of nowhere.
I'd lean towards starting Severino, but that Toronto start obviously makes him far from a slam dunk.
What do you guys think of him in general?
I mean, I'm really impressed. I wish the control was a little bit better, but that's about my only qualm. It's it's kept him from going deeper into games, but
and control was like never an issue for him in the minors, which is rare for any pitcher. So his highest rate was actually for a full season, his highest rate was 2.0. 2.4. So
yeah, wow.
So that I think that's the future is bright.
Guy that I'm sure people gave a lot of thought about starting this week, and a lot of people did start, Bartolo Colon, because he was just on fire. And he got lit up by the Marlins, gave up 2 home runs to give him 24 in the year. More home runs allowed than walks. 23 walks, 24 home runs for Colon in 182 and a third. All right, so he had been pitching great. He gets Atlanta next week. We have him as a one-start guy, but I feel like if they go five-man, he lines up to get 2. It would be at Cincinnati.
Mm.
So give me your thoughts on Colon, Atlanta to start the week. And then maybe Cincinnati.
Well, the Braves are a great matchup, so that instantly increases any pitcher's stock. But you know what you were saying, like a lot of people start Colon this week after what he did last week. But I think more than any other pitcher, you don't want to chase the past with Colon because he's just so volatile.
But he won a Cy Young, Al.
He's what I'm worried Josh Tomlin is going to become.
He did win a Cy Young.
He
right?
did win a Cy Young. It's not a very Cy Young worthy season, even. But he was also a very different pitcher then.
Anyway, yeah.
Not to get sidetracked. He's what I'm worried Josh Tomlin is going to become in terms of unpredictability. And you know, he's another guy who could end up allowing more home runs than walks.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm starting Tomlin in a 2-start week this time of year, though, I think I have to take the same approach with Colon.
But Colon against Atlanta, I wouldn't do it, even though it's a great matchup.
If it is just one start, I agree. If like Adam was saying, there's some indication that they're going to go five-man, then it becomes two.
And well, even if they don't go five-man, if they'll skip DeGrom, maybe. And so I feel like Colon would end up getting 2 starts. So he's going to start the first game
he's
of
the
their
guy,
week.
He's the guy they wouldn't worry about innings with.
So right. They should squeeze everything they can out of him during the regular season, I feel like, if they're going to do it with anybody.
Exactly. A.J. Burnett. You know, not bad. Not bad since he's come back. I think all the damage in the first start was in the first inning, and then yesterday, 8 hits and a walk in 5 1/3, but only 2 earned runs, 7 strikeouts. But at Colorado, and maybe at the Cubs next week. So you have to sit him, right?
You do. That's a shame, though, because, yeah, he's building some momentum. It'd be nice to be able to use him.
Irvin Santana, 4 great starts in a row, guys. Who's back on Irvin Santana?
I am.
Okay. I'm not. He's Colon-like to me. 4 great starts to me just means he's all the more due for a disaster.
It would be against Cleveland. Cleveland is his guaranteed start next week. He might get a second, and it would be at Detroit.
The thing, the difference, a key difference between him and Colon, and I get what you're saying.
Strikeouts was one.
Yeah. I mean, when Santana's on, he's near ace-like. So I'd gamble on that this time of year since he's on a good stretch now.
All right, our next hitter. Al, would you start Would you start Santana in a 2-start week?
No. Especially if it's not an assured 2-start week.
Would you start Henry Owens next week if he gets 2 starts? That would be Tampa Bay and Baltimore.
I would not.
I don't think so either. And those are at home?
Yes.
Yeah. A start at the Trop would intrigue me a little bit, but no, I would not start Owens.
Jake Peavy. Good start against Cincinnati. That's 2 very good ones in a row. San Diego was one of those 2, and they get Peavy gets San Diego on the road next week. Now, keep in mind, Justin Upton. Oh no, I'm sorry, he didn't face San Diego last night. That was 2 starts ago. Anyway, San Diego on the road next week. Jake Peavy
probably sitting, borderline.
Eric Johnson 2 starts at Detroit and at New York.
8%
owned.
I don't think I could really do it in a standard mixed league. Maybe in a points league if I was really desperate for a 2-start pitcher. Because he hasn't gotten pounded or even really hit hard. He's just walked a lot of batters in his 3 starts.
Yeah, I think he could get pounded. So even in a points league, I know that's generally a pretty safe move, but I think there's major implosion potential there for Johnson.
And the guy that Al likes, Adam Conley, 7 scoreless innings, 3 hits, no walks, 6 strikeouts at the Mets, and he gets the Phillies at home next week, and he's a Marlins pitcher.
Yeah, so pretty good matchup. Not, you know, Phillies aren't a great matchup anymore, but it's a good matchup at home, which I like for Conley. But it's just the one start. The thing is, he's 3% owned, so this is somebody I think that needs to be in all NL only leagues. So I realize that, you know, for most people this isn't going to be actionable, but he does need to be more owned.
All right, We're almost done with yesterday's stuff. Bruce Rondon blew a save, his third blown save. That came a night after he gave up an unearned run. Or that was an unearned run last night. It came a night after he gave up an earned run, but still got a save. That honestly just qualifies as news, I guess, right now. I don't know. They're not going to change closers, are they?
I doubt it.
Okay. So we'll read some emails and then we'll
managers,
talk DFS. Yeah. Email number one is from Mike in Rhode Island. He says, "Dear Carly, Ray, and Jepsen, Adam, you should be ashamed about trying to use a pun for Kevin Jepsen. Al crushed the best pun of the year earlier this year when first referring to Kevin Jepsen as saying, 'Claim me maybe.' That was the best pun I have ever heard Al make, ever, and I have heard him make some great puns."
I was going to say, I've heard him make some terrible puns.
Terrible puns are, by definition, I think, kind of great.
You have to separate them into two groups, because there's just bad and then so bad they're good.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. All right, so I apologize for that. Al, I didn't mean to steal your thunderwear? Thunderwear.
I think you just invented something.
I'm Kevin Jepsen.
Was he referring to Jepsen salt?
No.
Or did you make a Jepsen pun?
Call me maybe, Carly Rae Jepsen.
Oh.
And Al said, "Claim me maybe," and I said something like, "Pick him up maybe."
Yeah.
Or maybe I said, "Claim him maybe."
Okay. No, because the email says I said, "Claim."
Yeah, but maybe I stole that. I don't know. Anyway, you said it first. All right, Jake in Kansas City. "Dear Nerd Pod, how does Al have Cespedes at number 17 in his outfield rankings? No way he's behind someone like Starling Marte, Justin Upton, or Michael Brantley."
Yeah, no, I'll stick with that. He is definitely the MVP Cespedes of the last month.
Yeah, those are some good names.
Month plus.
Marte, maybe. I don't know. I could see that. But
yeah, I could definitely see that. Marte's tanked.
Or even Justin Upton. I don't know.
Floored out.
You never know which Justin Upton you're getting.
You never know which Cespedes you're getting.
But I'm not going to rag on anybody's rankings because, man, I need to get on that.
Tyler from Iowa. "Hello, Mark, Jose, and Ricky."
A's.
Oh. Mark is who?
McGuire, Canseco, and Henderson. Man. But he spelled Ricky wrong.
Well, that must have been what threw me off.
R-I-C-K-E-Y, Mr. Tyler.
R-O-C-K. Oh, the C is silent. Huh?
No, I don't know that one.
Billy Madison?
Yeah.
Remember your third grade spelling bee? Rock? R-O-K? Yeah, what's your point? R-O-C-K! All right, anyway, the email from Tyler is, with nearly two weeks left, would you drop cold, unproductive batting average killers like Pujols and Dozier? If you could gain 4 or 5 roto points in batting average and move to first with guys who are hitting like Odor, Forsyth, Eduardo Escobar, Jerko, Canna, Crone, like, would you drop Pujols and Dozier to make up for batting average?
If I was landlocked in home runs and run production,
landlocked.
I didn't make that up, by the way. I've seen other people use that. But no, I would do that.
See, Al's not even original, and you give him credit for the best puns.
I'll take credit in the rare cases where it's due.
But here's the thing: Escobar's not like generally batting average. Jerko's not generally batting average. Canna's not generally batting average.
Yeah, I mean, you got to make the drops for the right guys.
But you're definitely not going to get batting average from Pujols and
no,
Dozier.
who's what's stopping them from getting hot all of a sudden? They're due.
Well, anyone can get hot, but
Pujols,
over the course of a season, they're Dozier's a 240, 250 hitter.
I was going to say, for Dozier to get hot means he hits 260,
right.
270.
But I'm saying if we're measuring them over the course of the season, then I don't think Escobar, Jerko, Canna are much better than 250 hitters either. So you might as well keep the better all-around guy. And you're hoping for something out of character either way you go.
Well, let me just interject here because, I mean, again, this is very specific. We might only be helping this one person here, but if you are in a situation this time of year where you really could be, I'll use the word again, landlocked in particular categories, you could pick up a guy like Clint Robinson, who actually just wrote about my most recent column, who's had good batting average and really good OBP. So this would only apply in OBP, but just the general point, I think, would stick here. That you could take somebody who doesn't give you a lot in other categories, but could really excel in one category. And at this point, I don't think you have a lot to lose if you're not going to move up or down and say in home runs. Mm-hmm. In most cases, I would agree, that's not a move you want to make. But if you're in a special case where you can move up, he said, 5 spots,
right,
where it's that bunched up, And if it's not bunched up in the other categories, you're going to make sense to make moves that before this time of year would make absolutely no sense to make.
I understand that, and I agree with that. I'm just saying Jerko and like the list of players he listed was not, not the list to go with.
I agree. So, yeah, top of mind, I can't think of who would be good in terms of batting average.
Well, Forsyth would be good of the players he named.
Yes.
And Odor would be good. But that's it.
Okay.
FanDuel. Got 7 games on the night schedule. I don't think it's very easy to pick a pitcher here. Does it have to be Kluber?
It has to be. There's just... The only other one I could come up with was Marco Estrada because he's going against the Braves. But, I mean, Kluber... Seems like every other start, he either throws a complete game or gets double-digit strikeouts or both. So
it is his first start off the DL.
Yeah.
So that's
and if there was like a David Price going tonight, I probably would shy away from Kluber for that reason, but there's not.
Yeah. I'm going Kluber, too. My runner-up was actually McCullers. But
Texas is just so hot. I don't know
it's
if
risky.
I want to touch that.
So
and Colby Lewis, I just looked at his last start against Houston was awful. So... you know, he's hit or miss.
Yeah, so yeah, I've got...
I would miss with that one.
Yeah. So I have Kluber, who's 11,000. And as I said earlier in the show, you're going to need bargain hitters.
Right.
And particularly the way that I started to construct my lineup, that's definitely true because not only are there not really great, safe starting options to choose, but there's not really great pitchers to pick against either. There's a lot of middle ground here. But the one exception that I found to that is... Jimmy Nelson against the Cardinals, and I think there's some lefty bats there that you want to prioritize. So I basically have tried to build my lineup around Kluber, Carpenter, and Hayward. And Carpenter is 3,100, Hayward's 3,600. So I've had to go cheap. And by the way, I haven't actually finished this lineup, so I'm still looking for a shortstop and a couple of outfielders. But I like Matt Wieters against Matt Moore, and I think it'll be his turn.
I don't know if he's going to play.
Well, I think it'll...
Has he been out, or did he come
back? He's been alternating. And so I think it should be his time to start.
Okay.
2,400. So, yeah, obviously I have to look at the Orioles lineup ahead of time, but I would at least, in my draft lineup, get Wieters in there. Similarly, Jonathan Scope. Like I'm saying, there's nobody good to pick on. I've named two Orioles here. Jonathan Scope at 2,300.
I'm sorry. Yeah,
go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I was going to say there's one BVP guy that's great. That's Adam Lind, who's 16 for 37 with 6 doubles against John Lackey, but he's $4,000. I will save $1,000. If you put Kluber in your lineup, you will have to average $3,000 with the rest of your lineup. Exactly $3,000 is Prince Fielder. He's scorching hot right now. 2 home runs yesterday. Oh, I forgot to do the 2 home run club. All right, I'll let Chris do it tomorrow.
Pedroia?
Pedroia, because Pedroia is actually having a nice year. He has highest slugging percentage since 2011. He's playing well, and Fielder is very interesting to me because he had a really terrible stretch. He had like one home run in 30 games before this hot streak.
Yep, but three and three, right?
Maybe 3-4, something like that. But whatever it is, yeah, probably 3-3. Okay. I'm sorry, I got sidetracked. Ben Revere's 2,900.
Yeah,
it's always a good one.
He's hitting well.
Who's pitching for the Braves tonight? Nobody.
Whistler.
Okay, we'll go with
Whistler's pulling Pio.
Ben Revere. I don't. What is that?
Nobody eats candy.
I never eat candy.
Is that a Werther's?
Twizzlers. Twizzlers pulling Pio.
And I should have thought that because first of all, I always associate Whistler with Twizzlers, and you pull and peel Twizzlers.
So. Makes mouths happy.
How about Adam Jones at 2,800 against Matt Moore?
We are going to pick on Matt Moore.
And I don't know. We're not picking on Matt Moore. Just Adam Jones at 2,800.
No, that's a really good price.
Careful, Adam. Less is more. What's that from?
I don't know.
Oh, Angels in the outfield.
Adam Jones is 11 for 21 with 2 home runs against Matt Moore.
And Matt Moore has not been good.
I like it. I like Matt. I like this. Oh, Al, we've got a great lineup here. We're going to win. So who's your catcher?
So my catcher's Wieters for now. My first baseman, by the way, I like Fielder. If I can get him in for an extra 400, I will. Right now, I've got Justin Bour in there against Tanner Roark.
What a bore.
I'm going...
That's kind of boring compared to Prince Fielder.
I'm going Gattis, so I'm going to have to go cheaper than you at some positions.
All right.
Well, who else did you put in there?
All right. So let me add Jones.
Oh, Brian Dozier. I know he's been cold, but he's facing a lefty.
Yeah, no, I thought about...
He likes the lefties, yeah.
Yep.
And the lefty in particular is Hector Santiago, who's been bad, bad, bad since the All-Star break.
Where do you go Kipnis against Yordano Ventura? They're the same price. What would you guys do?
All right, so I'm sorry. Kipnis versus Ventura versus...
Oh. Kipnis versus Ventura. Or you can save $600 and go Colton Wong against Nelson.
I still like Scope against Moore. Scope's just 2,300.
Yeah, that's better.
And so with adding Jones to my lineup, I now just need a shortstop and an outfielder. So I could start Lindor for 3,600, and I still have 3,600 for my last outfielder.
Wow.
So I'm starting to really like this lineup.
It's really, really coming together. Have Jason Hayward in there?
I have Jason Hayward in there. It's 3,600. Yeah. I could get a white-hot Jason Worth.
Jason Worth, yeah, against... against a bad Marlins pitcher by the name of Jared Cozart.
I actually don't think he's that bad, but it's not going to deter me from starting Jason Worth.
All right, we've got very similar lineups, sir.
All right, so I'm set for now.
All right, my last spot is going to go to Shin-Soo Chu. So we have Kluber. Do you have Fielder or no?
No, I've got Boer.
We have Scope. We have Matt Carpenter. We have Lindor. We have Revere.
I do not have Revere.
When the heck did I put Nolan
I've got
Reinhold
Hayward,
in?
Jones, and Worth right now.
I meant to put Adam Jones.
Now, if I upgrade to Fielder, let's see. I could play Chu. I might do that.
There you go. Now we have basically the same lineup, Al. Booyah. FanDuel.com. Use our promo code CBSPOD. And we're back tomorrow. Chris Towers, Al, and Scott will help you out. And since I'm not going to talk to you on the podcast, have a great week off, whatever you're doing.
Thank you, Adam. Have a great week on.
We'll miss you. And bye, everyone.